Blog Talk Radio.
Alafia, greetings, Hotep. You've got your Omega 7 live here to serve you. I am your advocate, the one you need, and I am your advisor, the one you want. We'd like to welcome you to tonight's segment. As you know, we are featuring a brand new segment. We're dealing with if financial literacy is the solution for college-bound students. Do you make preparation to make sure your youngsters know how to manage their bank book, know how to calculate percentages, know how to get their budgets put together so that they're not wasting their filthy lucre and that they're managing every dime and using their coupons? That's right. This is the area where we talk about economics, understanding your financial disabilities, and if you are financially illiterate. And most of us are, ladies and gentlemen, we're illiterate when it comes to finance. We don't know what our needs are or our wants. We're always putting our wants before our needs. Now, I want to stop and say that we don't need everything we see. We don't have to have everything we see. But we have to buy according to our lifestyle. If you are into music and you are a connoisseur of music and you collector, then you want to buy certain collector's items and make sure you have them in your repertoire. Then you budget for those items, catching them on sale, researching various different places you could purchase them for under the cost. You do not want to pay full cost for anything unless you just have to. Now, I'm not telling you to be a tight wire, afraid to lose a penny and make a nickel holler and a dollar scream. Now, I'm telling you that are out there who are stingy, this is not the place to be. You're not ready to sling your money around, but you sure don't want to be stingy to your own self. If it's something that you need, you've got to release that filthy lucre to buy it because it's currency. Eventually, it will come back to you. You can't take a rich person and take everything from them and think that that money won't find its way back into that client's hand. It's a law, and it's a principle. And if you've ever been rich before, guess what? You're going to remain rich. Riches does not always pertain to material things. It's the richness of your life and the richness of your spirit and the fortitude of your conviction that make you rich. So don't get it twisted. I'm not talking about because you dress the occasion everything matching, excess, and waste. I'm talking about those of you who understand balance is in order. Yes, if you want to cut down on your finances, you can make that outfit and go out and find the attires to go with it and put that excess money in your shoes, in your extra attire, and maybe in your hair. But nevertheless, you want to look like a millionaire. And if you're costly and have good tutelage, you can make yourself look as good as someone who has that filthy lucre and has excess. You can make yourself look just as rich as the next person. But you have to do it cost effectively. And I don't mean borrowing from Peter to pay Paul. Now you got your nails done, and you couldn't pay that NIPSCO bill. Now look at here, water bill getting cut off because you went and got that facial that you had to have so bad. Now you got that weed put on, but you didn't pay that garbage bill, so it's backing up in your backyard. No, come on, people. We're not talking about being like the Joneses, going along to get along until you get it right. No, you're not going to be wasting money on those excess things. Remember your needs and your wants. You need your water bill paid, baby. You need that NIPSCO bill paid. Don't get it twisted. You don't need another set of fake acrylic nails and your toenails painted with faces on it, and your hair all blue, black, and green, every color of the rainbow. You don't need all that. Listen to Omi. I'm telling you, dress ain't cost me but $7 because I'm clever. Dress ain't cost me nothing but $7 because I'm clever. That's what Erica Badu tells us. She's been telling you for the longest, budget your money. You can step out on stage like Erica Badu, matching and accessorizing all the time. Take it from Erica Badu. She's my friend. I know she wants you to save a dollar because she's always looking out for a sale and to save a dollar. That's what this show is all about today, ladies and gentlemen, and I want you to be a part of that. So stay tuned. We're going to meet you in the atmosphere where we can talk about the topic today. Is financial literacy the solution to our children's college fund, to our children even in attending college? Do they need to go before they learn financial literacy? Or should you start now in kindergarten teaching your children about financial literacy? We don't want to be illiterate in everything. We've already cleaned up our acts and gone back to learn how to read. Let's clean up our acts and learn how to budget our money so that we don't put the pressure on the budget and on our economy for wastefulness and stockpiling and buying unnecessary cell phones and apparatuses and things like that. So now we all queued up with all kinds of electrical appliances, and now we got our book on electronic. Oh, look at here. We want to line our cars with that DVD player in the back seat, knowing you don't need to look at no TV while you're driving. Come on here, folks. Y'all got to put it down. You got to be able to put it down and live a simple life and a productive life and have extracurricular activity. How many of you have traveled abroad? How many of you have seen the other side of Fifth Avenue or Broadway? How many of you have been able to go international? Well, baby, I want to take you international on a budget because Omi has been there. That's right. You can be on a budget and travel abroad and enjoy yourself. But don't be stingy to yourself, saying, I don't have no money to travel on me. I can't go nowhere on no trip. I didn't get my unemployment money, and I'm still waiting for that Social Security check. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, if you have to be on Social Security or the unemployment check, baby, I've been there. There's nothing disrespectful about that. But you have to queue that money up and dice it, divide it, and apply it to the necessary needs. Then those wants will somehow go away, and you can save some extra money to travel. Omi did it. I did it so well that I didn't have the excess money that I initially went abroad with, and I lived off of basic essentials. You can do it too. Give your child an experience abroad. Allow him or her to travel abroad. Don't be afraid that they're not going to have enough money. Trust me, when they get there, there are people on the other side to meet them, to show them how to budget their money at the penny store. That's right, the penny store. You didn't hear about that here in the United States or Ben Franklin, but abroad they have the penny store where people shop who are on fixed income. And guess what? The majority of the people abroad are on government subsidy, but they still have debit cards, and they still drive around in Mercedes-Benz and BMWs, and they still live the life. That's right. They're on fixed income because Europe has limited jobs and economic employment, but yet those people go on living a quality life. You can too. Stay tuned. Omi wants to show you how to do it. I'll meet you there after I call BJ to take me down the road a piece. BJ, I need to get on that train so I can go down here and get some economic employment so I can show people in this room just exactly how we do it, because dressing cost me but $7 because I'm clever. Clever. You ought to get clever and save your money and make sure you don't make that dollar holler more than twice. Make sure you circulate that money in the community so that you can begin to upgrade your economic status right along with the village concept. I know you can do it. Come on, BJ. Take me on down here. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be right back at you. Stay tuned. My old music promised me when she died. Come on, BJ. This is made up. We'll be right back at you in a second. The band has to take a break. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, and you have the Care to Read room. I want to thank each and every one of you for frequenting my room and for being a guest here. To all my old friends, I say, what's up? And to those new friends, I say, Abare Ghani, have a seat. Relax. I'm here in my living room. Why don't you come in and join us? This is a relaxing environment, and we're friendly. You need to get to know us. The tribe and I are bringing it to you again. And let me name some of those tribe members. Jamel Harvey, Dr. Jamel Harvey, Mrs. Harvey, Terrell Garth. We're going to be bringing it to you strong. And now we're bringing a group of attorneys that will address the audience. Now, tonight's segment, we had set aside for a gentleman by the name of Benny Muhammad. Benny Muhammad was going to bring you expungement information. Now, he is a very busy man, and because he's out there advocating, I hope he remembered to put it on his schedule. And we've asked him to come as a featured guest. But however, if time won't allow him to and we can't feature him tonight, we will feature him on another segment and we'll go right on with the show. Right now, I'd like for you to step over into another atmosphere. Remember, the first thing and foremost thing is that we need to call on our ancestors to give us direction and guidance for our life. We need to find out how we can become free. We need to also know that spirit is the only thing important. When we invoke the spirit, we cannot be confused by the lust of the flesh. What's wrong with the flesh, you say, Omi? The flesh is wicked, desperately wicked, and who could know it? And the heart is even more wicked. So you're saying flesh is no good? That's right. We are to beat this old man down and bring the flesh up under subjection. Kill the old man daily. Every day you are to deny your flesh. Deny it of a candy bar. Deny it of a drink. Deny it of those craving desires. Beat the flesh down. And when you beat the flesh down, the spirit will appear. I want you to look like spirit. I want you to look like God. As you kill the old man, the Godhead shows up in you. The Godhead is present. I can see God on the airman. I can see God on you and me. The God is supposed to appear. And we are to become less flesh and blood and more spiritual. That's why it's necessary every day that we invoke the Spirit and call the Spirit to be a part of this ceremony. And you must have ceremonial procedures. I'm teaching you every day. Call on your ancestors, Eli. Call on your ancestors, Eli, because they'll pick you up and they'll make you strong when you have fallen lower than a refugee. I want you to understand that every one of our ancestors have not died, and some of them have not made their transition complete. They're making full circle, and some of them are yet in the lagoon, traveling across the Pacific, trying to make it home to you and I. We say to those spirits, come quickly. We pray that you make it back home, and we will prepare you a cool drink so that that cool drink will quench your thirst. I'd like to pour a glass of water for my father's spirit that he might have that cool drink. And I say, Ashe. I'd like to pour a glass of water for my mother's spirit to quench her thirst and give her nourishment. And I say, Ashe. I like to pour libation to the east. And I say, Ashe. I like to pour libation to the west. And I say, Ashe. I like to pour libations to the north. And I say, Ashe. And finally, I like to pour libations to the south. And I say, Ashe. And we know that we pour a little bit of the water to the ground because the water will hit the ground and take root. Some will come and water that word. Others will come and water it too. But it is God that will give the increase. And ladies and gentlemen, do this in remembrance of your deceased loved ones. Do this in remembrance of your mother and father. The mother and father are paid homage to first. Then we pay homage to Ola Dulama Ray. He is the African God. That's right. Our African God has a name. We also have an equivalent prophet, and our black prophet, equivalent to Jesus, is also known as Horus and Oromola. He was at the right hand of God. He saw the inception of each and every one of us. He knew what was in our hearts, and he knew what our desires was and why we asked to come here to assist and aid in a situation that could not be performed without you and I. Now, I want you to learn more about your African customs. As you know, in this room, many segments ago, I used African tongue and the native language to remind you that there's power in our African language. And one of them that I speak is Yoruba. And as I say Odabo, that is a Yoruba term. Very simple, meaning goodbye. And greeting someone, you say Alafia. And greeting your loved ones. We greet our loved ones in saying Alafia. And we say, Spirit, we want you to take hold here to permeate the atmosphere. We invite the melanin into this room. And if any of you be sick, down and out in your spirit, brokenhearted, now is the time to tap in. To those of you who may feel brokenhearted, lost, disconnected, you can be reconnected here in the Care to Read Room under the Talking Cure. This is where you get your healing. I hear some mothers say she don't want to have to scold her husband anymore. She don't want to have to chasten her child anymore. She wants an intercessor to stand in the gap to minister on behalf of her family. I hear some woman say she's looking for a good husband. Woman, don't you know it's a good thing for a man to find a wife? Wait on it. That man will find you. You just be found being acceptable, and your reasonable service is to be a good wife. I hear a man say that he don't want to be locked up in prison no more. He has retreated to his room, afraid to leave the house, suspicious that someone might want to capture him. I heard a young man say, I hope I make it past, because I want to be an old man. I heard a grandmother say, I don't want to study for no, but I will go back. I will sing the sword if necessary. I heard a grandpa say that my boy must get respected of this thing. I heard a grandpa say, my city will grandpa the city. people had soup for supper. And you think that polished soup that's been fresh for the time. So we can talk. And that mother who had to let the soup get the tea on this life, sir.
Oh,
on the call. You ought to be able to treat your brothers and sisters of God. You ought to be able to embrace your brothers and sisters in the courtyard and say, I am whole and I am free. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for going on the talking cure with me. Thank you so much. Periodically do that for your family and make sure that you have a spiritual time in your household. Go to church in your home anytime you want. You don't have to physically go into a building to be able to have sanctuary in your home. You are the living epistle. You are the sanctuary, your vessels and your body. Utilize time appropriate to save time to talk to God every day. On this show, nothing is going on until I've had my chance to speak to God and go in the spirit so he can tell me what it is that I must bring to you. I am not my own. I've committed my vocal cords to the Creator. The Creator uses me to speak through me to be a messenger. You might not like what I say all the time, but you must remember, while I'm under the Spirit, I must be obedient to the Spirit. Call things that be not, cry loud, lift up my voice like a trumpet, and show the house of Jacob their transgression. And sometimes I have to eat of my own word because I need to minister to myself. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I want to welcome you back to the program. Now that we've come out of the Spirit, sometimes I have to wake myself and shake myself so I can come back to the natural man. And it is a blessing to be able to be in the Spirit. I tell you, I look forward to the days of being with you people every day because I know that some household is being changed. Somebody's heart is being conditioned. So thank you for the opportunity of ministering to you. It is certainly appreciated. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we are about to go to a segment of our show that I know most of you are excited about. And some of you have been listening in because you've heard us talk about our new show. And you have even featured our new show and want to call in. So I'm going to ask you to pick up that phone line and go ahead on Lil G and call in. Call in, please. Miss Seely wants you to call in. This is Miss Seely Blues, Always Sisters, Always Sisters. Come on, y'all. Seely, sing that song.
I'm keeping my eyes on you. I bet you think I don't know nothing but singing the blues. Oh, sister, have I got news for you? I'm something. I hope you think that you're something too. Is feeling fine.
And we're back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Always Sisters, Always Friend. We want to welcome you newcomers to our new show, and we're going to take a station identification, and we'll be right back at you in the atmosphere.
I went to Columbia University in New York City for a year. I didn't like Columbia very well. A big university in the very heart of a big city, it didn't seem to me to have what I thought was a feeling of college life or campus life. And then at that time, there was prejudice at Columbia. I had difficulty getting a room in the dormitory as a Negro student. And then, being interested in writing, I wanted to become a member of the staff of the Columbia College newspaper, The Spectator. And so I tried out for it. You had to go through sort of preliminary tests and show some ability. And do you know what they assigned me to? Me, a Negro student, they assigned me to society and fraternity news. And they knew very well that I had no access to most of the fraternity houses or dances that the white students went to. And so I was unsuccessful in making the staff of the Spectator. My father had wanted me to become a mining engineer. By that time, I'd made up my mind that I'd like to be a writer. We didn't agree on objectives. So at the end of the year, I wrote my father in Mexico City and told him that I had decided to try to be a writer. And if he didn't approve of my plans, he needn't send me any more money. Well, he didn't send me any more money. I found myself in New York City with only $13 at the end of my college year. And that is what I started out in life on. Ever since that time, I've been making my own living. And with this $13, I went down to Harlem, got a room, and began to look for a job.
Gentlemen, we're back. And we're going to engage you in one more possibly Nikki Giovanni. Come on, Nikki.
Cadman presents the African-American audio experience, including Black Boy by Richard Wright, A Raisin in the Sun by Lorraine Hansberry, selections from the Nikki Giovanni Poetry Collection, selections from the Tall Tales chapter of Every Tongue Got to Confess by Zora Neale Hurston, three poems by Gwendolyn Brooks, and selections from Langston Hughes Reads.
Welcome back, family. And you have Always Sisters, Always Friend, Always Sisters, Always Friend. Welcome, everyone. I'd like to introduce you to my co-host, Mrs. Harvey. And Mrs. Harvey, can we get you on the line and say hello? Hello, Mrs. Harvey.
Hello, how are you?
I'm just fine. Thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, we have been featuring Always Sisters, Always Friend, starting on Monday. That was our first show. And we have been talking about a segment of things about women, women issues, and friendship. Now, today's segment is going to be featured around women who dated their girlfriend's prior boyfriend. What's it like? How do you stay in good grace with your girlfriend? And how do you deal with that boyfriend that knows about your girlfriend? Do you have discussions about what your girlfriend was like? Or do your boyfriend discuss with you about what your old girlfriend was like? And how do you handle that? What do? Do you go to your boyfriend and explain, we want to keep a neutral ground and keep my girlfriend out of it? Don't discuss with me the things you did with her. And don't compare me to her and say, you're not like my old girlfriend at all. She used to hang up my clothes and put the toilet seat down. Oh, you're not like her at all. You are two separate individuals. He has no business comparing you to someone that you know. He has to see you for who you are and judge you according to your own personality and not against a prior friend of his. Now, the question is, how many of you get together as old family and Begin to go out to events and days and act as if you're old family. Should it be that way? Or should you be rivals and against one another? Well, I think you should be friends. Because if you're in this big universe, eventually you're going to run into somebody that you used to date and that you know. You can't be so small that you're constantly worried about how many people know about your business or you. If you live long enough, I tell you, somebody's going to get to know you quite well. And if you're living a legitimate life and not an illegitimate life, you really don't care who knows about you. You have to live your life accordingly and sometimes tell on yourself. That's what Laura Hill told me. Tell on yourself before somebody call themselves telling on you. So nothing is new because the Spirit always keeps you informed about everything. Now, that old girlfriend, she's been at you about your boyfriend and about how he treats you. She notices that he opens doors for you, takes you out on the town, and treats you like a lady, and opens up and talks, communicates. And she's observed that he even pulls out the chair for you when you're out on the town. Something he never did for her. Now she's jealous. She's got the pew face. That's right, the pew face that said pew. And she is greener than mold because she is upset. Because now you got this man to do the things that she couldn't, like pick up his underwear, like flush the toilet, like clean behind himself, like also to be fair with her in helping around the house. She is just beside herself because you got the better man. So what's up? Is this a new man or did she find out that different people have different strokes with different people? Some people are able to get the best out of others with just a few adjustments. A smile, and saying thank you, I love you, I appreciate you. I love it when you call me Big Papa. Compliment your femininity and constantly find the good in others so that they will find it in you. Then it will be much easier for you to live with that person. Now, what she's not realizing, she might not have the patience to wait on that person or that man to come to a level where he had confidence and he was sure of himself. She might have been rushy and pushy, and he never got a chance to show him his real side. Now, let's go to the phone line and see what Ms. Harvey has to say about dating your girlfriend's old boyfriend. What's that all about, and how do you have a conversation with your girlfriend about your new man? Ms. Harvey, please give us some input.
I got a scenario I wanted to share with you. That was twin sisters, you know, identical twin sisters, and they were in college at the time. They shared the same dorm and everything. And this young man was dating the first sister name was Michelle, and he was dating her. And every time he'd take Michelle out, he'd come back and drop her off, and her sister would tell him all about what happened. So they decided one day that each one was going to go out with him. He dated one. He didn't know that was Michelle that he was going out with. That was Michelle's sister. And every time he'd take Michelle out, he would always go to the gas station and want her to buy the gas. And every time he would take the other sister out, he would always take her to the movie. She would always have to pay for the entrance. So they got together one day. Michelle told her sister to wait at the movie. And when she got there, he stopped at the gas station with her, and they got gas. Then he got to the movie, and when they got out to go in, they met up. And he was shocked. He said, well, who? She said, don't worry about it. You dated both of us, and you took both of us to the gas station, and you brought both of us to the movie to buy gas and pay for the movie. So we don't want to date you anymore. And he was just so shocked. He didn't know what to do, how those girls tricked him into being identical twins and followed his marriage the way he would have them to buy gas and pay their way into the movie every time they went. So they tricked him, and he didn't know what to do. He was so outdone.
Miss Harvey, that is a very interesting story, and I would have liked to have seen how the end turned out. However, as we speed up the agenda to today's time, you've got so many game playing going on. Dating is a whole nother game, and you've got women who are fighting more these days and of having these cat brawls and dog fights as if we have not moved up with the time. Don't they understand that the more maturity and more knowledge we get, the easier communication is? But it has gone contrary, where we have a lack of communication now, and no one is speaking with intelligence. Therefore, we need more shows that would allow you to have orator and to articulate so you can explain yourself in words so it doesn't have to end up into a physical brawl. You have more people fighting about their men than ever before. You go to a club, I don't care how much sister has arrived and how much she has moved up that glass ceiling to administration, she will fight in the club about her man. But what is going on? What is this all about? Now, you made it up to the top. You can have any man you want. You can walk away from a situation. You don't have to get into a physical brawl over your so-called man, when in fact, you just have him on loan for a while. You eventually have to give him back if you're not transitioning out of the engagement into a long-term relationship called marriage. So, if you're just sporting the man, have a good time. Let him do his thing. You make sure you let him know you're not serious, and you will be casually dating too. That will either make him take the cow home and buy the cow, or stop getting the milk and walk away and say, I can't put up with this. I don't want to share my milk with no one. Either I own the cow or I give up the milk. It's simple as that. There is no two ways about it. Let's go to the phone lines again. Miss Harvey, now, you told me that story. Tell me something about your life. What went on when you were coming up? You grew up with four sisters. Did you ever have to compete for your sister's man? Did you ever get in a quarrel with your sister about wanting to date her man? Or did you ever have one of your sisters behind their back flirt with you? Come on, open up, Miss Harvey. Tell us all about it.
My sisters to do that because we, at the time when I was coming up, we girls had, when you dated a boy, that boy dated you. And if you was going study with that guy, you was engaged to get married. But and you never, they never dated nobody else. We had different rules and regulations back in those days. It wasn't like it is now. Boys dated girls just going and coming, going and coming. But back then, when I was coming up, a boys wasn't dating like that. You dated a girl steadily. And if you wasn't intending to marry that girl, you don't date her anymore.
Now, that's a good point, Miss Harvey. Unfortunately, we got so many people on the down low. Not only are they dating opposite sex, some of them are dating the same gender. We have a serious, serious problem because there's a lack of men. Women want to be loved. It's only natural. They want to be cared for. They want to be caressed. They want to be admired. Mostly they want to be admired. And if another girl can admire another girl of the same sex, to them it's the same admiring, but I beg their pardon, it's not the same. Because a woman can't look at you with the same eyes of a man.
because there's nothing she can do for you and give you that you don't already have. So we've got to start talking to our sisters who are at the threshold of becoming bisexual opposed to becoming heterosexual. We've got to start looking at you and saying, a long time ago, it was okay to put our arms around our sister's neck and say, I love you. We are best friends. And that's the end of it. There's no caressing in the night. She's making me feel good, and she satisfies my need. None of that. There's no humping on her, feeling on her, touching the same organs that you got. None of that. Our young sisters need to be taught, and they need to know that there is a point when the touch of a man is different than the touch of a woman. And our young women need to understand you can beautify yourself by putting on a dress and allowing some man to compliment you. And you must do that, else you rob yourself of that femininity. Compliment your femininity. We always used to hear that as young girls. Don't let any woman come and say, girl, you sure look good. The first thing you say is, I don't need your admiration. I don't even need you to admire me. But I do appreciate the fact that you see the same qualities in me that you like in yourself. But correct them and let them know that there is nothing to be had, that at the end of this pipe dream is empty dreams. Because an orgasm doesn't come because a woman is touching you and saying nice things to you or using tools in a bedroom. It still cannot produce a sperm. So women have got to get clear in their mind. Don't be at the threshold where you could go either or and you're swinging bisexual both ways, but yet you're saying you're getting the joy out of both relationships. I don't believe that. I don't think it's possible. If that's the case, you can take that same tool and apparatus and go in your bedroom and produce healthy oral massification on your own. You don't need the help from your sister. You can do that on your own. And guess what, people? It's absolutely natural if you masturbate with yourself, not somebody else's hands. It is natural for a young child to masturbate. It is natural for a woman to masturbate. There's nothing dirty about that. But when you start allowing outside hands of the same gender to orally masticate you, to make you have thrills, and to make you think that you're being stroked by the opposite sex, it is an illusion. It's not real. And then for the woman to think, if I look a little bit more masculine, wear my hair cut shorter, put on male's clothes, press my breast down, what's it all about? Either it's a male gene you're carrying or you're putting on a facade. It's very important that we know at an early age these things have to be cultivated in you so that your genes and hormones will develop in an appropriate way so that you can accept the fact that you have femininity areas that you want to be stroked in. And mothers, you are to make sure that during their 15th birthday that they are made to feel feminine like a young girl. I'm saying some of you mothers don't have a clue. If you don't teach these girls that they're pretty and there's a femininity factor in them and a cause for them to be celebrated because of what they are now carrying, they're carrying stocks and bonds. You do not want your women and your girls' stocks and bonds to depreciate. Do you not know when a woman doesn't know the value of her stocks and bonds? And I'm talking about her femininity, her vaginal area, are her stocks and bonds. They're up in value, and they're in demand by a male. But they become depreciated once that young woman allow herself to be embraced and tampered with by the same sex. She no longer carries herself as if she's carrying high stocks and bonds that are in demand. Self-esteem drops. She then has no ability to conduct herself around that man in an appropriate way, because mother has to take her into femininity and teach her daughter, this is a healthy stroke. This is good from a man. This is acceptable, but there is a time and a place. Do not teach that young girl that you never have sex. Sex is dirty. You will make that young girl think, well, I don't have to have sex to say that I'm still a virgin. I can do oral sex, and I'm still not having sex. You have so many young women that think because they're orally having sex that they're not engaging. Mothers, you are putting the wrong fear in your daughters. Teach them that sex is lovely. It's a beautiful thing. Let me say that again. It's a beautiful thing. And there is a time and a place for the woman to come into the femininity. Build her up. Make her think it's better than ice cream, better than chocolate cake. Tell her that when this moment comes, it is okay for her to be aroused and to feel as sensual. And tell her that time will come, and you welcome that for her. Do not turn her heart against the joys of sex and say, girl, you better not let no man do nothing to you. Don't let him touch you. He's low down and he's dirty. Mother, you are giving your young girls the wrong attitude about sex and the opposite sex at that with a man. You must build this atmosphere and this moment up for this young girl. Tell her that when the time comes, that it will be the most exciting moment of her life. Do not let her be tampered with and played with by the same sex. It is not the same. She will be found wanting and forevermore wanting, and she won't even be able to blush when a man does touch her. What do I mean? She's never even been infiltrated or penetrated. She's still a virgin, but yet she's hanging out with another girl saying she's bisexual and she's a dyke, and yet she's never been penetrated. She's still yet a virgin. That's right, mother. She's still yet a virgin. You've got to intervene to tell her that she has only been turned out, but she has not had sexual intercourse. Now, when you tell her that, help her to buy the pretty things to make her share in the glory of her fine bust, to feel good about it and not to stretch it with a mat to tie her breast down, but to plump her breast up as if she's serving them on a platter to make it look inviting for that man. Tell her the glory of her bust and how busts have been used for many years to feed the nation. Tell her not to be ashamed of her busts. And tell her not to want to take on the characters of a male because she has a stern male voice. That will change with time. And tell her that her fine round behind has been suited for a black man, and it's quite naturally he wants to observe her continence and maybe even touch her continence from time to time. Mothers, you are not on your job. I don't care what you say. Some of you are not even being women yourself. Some of you are letting your daughters see them do everything under the sun but pimp a man. Mothers, you are the one to impart femininity to your daughters. You are the first teacher. Where were you at the first day she had her kiss? Did she come back and discuss it with you and tell you, mother, it was just like you said it would be? How many of you are still plotting your daughter's periods on a calendar so you know when she had her last menstrual and she discussed that with you too? How many of you are engaging in that? Oh, but my daughter's grown. I don't need to tell her anything. She is grown, and I don't have to ask her about her personal life. Yes, you do, because you're building her into a woman. Right now, she's still a little girl. You want some man to treat her kindly and to adore her and all of her continents included. You don't want her to be admired by another woman. And if some other woman does happen to admire her and give her a compliment, show your daughter how to handle that flirting. Show her it is not the same thing when a woman flirts with you opposed to a male. Show her how to carry herself. Don't let her be carried away by what someone's saying about how good you look. And I'm sure that me and you can get together. And if they start to email her, and these are feminine women who've seen her picture, and now they're saying, I'm interested in you. You look good. What does it mean when a woman pay you a compliment like that? You don't accept that. It is not meant for her to want to desire you. Do not even acknowledge it. Mothers, you got to teach your daughters. You got to teach your daughters. And you're not doing that job. Because I know, and just working with the seventh graders, they were so quick to have oral sex. Because mothers say don't have sex, and to them, oral sex was not having sex. They couldn't wait to get in those bathrooms outdoors to wait for those men to come in to have oral sex. Now, what's that all about? Were their mouths made for oral sex? Do they think it's a natural thing to do? Why aren't you talking to your daughter's mother? Why? And why are you letting them be pimped by some young man that's trying to get his thrills off? But yet they're telling you, Mom, I don't have sex. But then their girlfriend is telling you, but Mother, she's having oral sex. And you're saying, well, that's not like getting pregnant. It's worse. Because the sexual diseases that are acquainted with oral sex can be even more devastating. So, what are we going to do about it? How are we going to help you mothers? Let's go to the phone line and get a suggestion from Mrs. Harvey as how we can help you inappropriate mothers do a better job. Ms. Harvey, you have the atmosphere.
I still like to say education. Knowledge is a thing that we should never hold back from our children. And mothers should teach their daughters is that a woman was made for man, and man was made for a woman, not woman for woman and man for man. It wasn't, God didn't mean for that to be. So when we get married, we are married a man. A woman is married a man, and a man is married a woman. So when it comes down to our children having sex with the same mate, same sex with another girl, that's our fault. Like you said, we haven't done our job. We're supposed to teach our children about sex. When the time comes to have sex, you owe yourself, if you engage, teach our children, if you are engaged to be married, then you are entitled to have sex with your husband, and that's it. And your husband should be a man and not a woman. And we should teach our children about sex at an early age. So when they come of age, they would know. And even if they want to endure in sex at an early age, they would know that you do not indulge in sex with the same sex. And that's one of the things why most of us know there's young women out there who want to be a man and vice versa. And that's because some of us parents refuse to teach our children the right way to go.
Very good, Mrs. Harvey. Now, one thing I didn't mention, young girls observe the attention that men get and the respect they get. It's natural that they will want to desire some of that same authority and a presence. That's only natural. Some go-getter women desire to have those traits as well. But they never take themselves out of that zone where they physically see themselves in trousers and in a man's attire. They only think it mentally in their mind, and they let that race through their brain several times, but they never physically make that transition. When you've gotten to the point where you're making that physical transition to put on the male's garment and thinking that this respect will come because of the garment, you're completely outlavish and you're lost. Because a meeting of the mind doesn't mean changing clothes. You can still have a trait of a male's attitude, such as a competitive trait, and still compete with the opposite sex and still remain a lady. But if you have to take off your clothes to put on male garments and attire to make someone convinced that you have the same traits of a man, you're sadly mistaken. You have the capability to compete on levels like a man, but you don't have the same capacity to stroll like a man, to dip like a man, to walk like a man. What other woman wants a punk? You don't have the full package. You're walking, and you don't even understand that your scrotum causes you to walk a stroll and walk a certain way that it identifies with the man and not with the woman. Men that don't know they have scrotums are punks, because you have to make room for this scrotum. You have to crouch, bend a certain way. Now, you put on all this man's attire. Now, you think you got what it takes to be a man, but yet you're holding that woman's hand, walking like a woman, bending like a woman, not even crouching properly. What woman wants to be on your arm and say, this is my mate? He's dressed like a man, but he still has the mannerism of a woman. Come on now, folks, let's talk about it. There's only so far you can go with making and pretending yourself to be of the opposite sex. Let me go to the phone line. Miss Harvey, you have something to say?
By the same token, if you realize when you was a child coming up that you have the capability of a woman and that you were born a woman, what makes you think that you can become a man if God didn't make you a man? You was made a woman, and you were supposed to fulfill that woman's capability, such as having children, bringing children into the world. Not going out getting somebody pregnant, that's not what you're capable of. You're capable of being a wife to a man, and being a wife to a man consists of being a woman.
No.
You cannot be a man and a woman. You wasn't born that way. You was born to be what you were born to be, a woman. And if you have desires to be a man, where do you think that's coming from? We have to fight, pray, and take, and do things that will help us to indicate what we're trying to be. So what we need to do is think about if you was born with the woman finality, and then you are a woman. And if you were born with the man child, then you are a man. We can't become something we're not. Because that's what we was meant to be. And we're supposed to work on that.
Mrs. Harvey, thank you so much for that input. I'm a little bit disturbed because someone out there may be going through the same problem we're talking about. They may be stuck in their femininity mode, opposed to having hormonal feelings. Now, the hormonal feelings, when you're first born, you have both genes, female and male, but there's a dominant trait that prevails. There is a learned behavior that can be learned, and in being able to teach kindergarten and watch children learn behaviors, I've seen a lot of things where children picked up on role modeling, and they begin to role model these behaviors. The genes and hormones weren't even into place yet. These were learned behaviors, and they can be unlearned. Now, for those of you young women who are not feeling prissy and feminine, ask your moms to enroll you in activities such as ballet, activities such as dance. Begin to feel your femininity and enjoy it and celebrate it. Ask your mother to allow you to get a patty coat. At one time in our life, it was a big thing just getting a patty coat and a bra. Boy, did I want a brassiere. Boy, did I want to get that first brassiere and put those padded tissue pads there to make myself feel feminine. I even waited for the opportunity when we were going to get our first brassiere, and I thought I would get a chance to wear that brassiere, but nothing had grew in that place, so I had a need for it. But I prayed for it. Hurry up and come, because I wanted to feel like I was feminine. It's important for you to feel that way, and only your mothers can teach you that. You are to be separated from your brothers when you're trained. You are to be taken in a separate room, and you are to be given your birthright of how fortunate you are to bring forth birth, and how fortunate you are to be able to influence a nation with your continent, with your very gender, and how fortunate it will be for you to learn femininity, like putting books on your head, to walk upright and straight like a woman, not bent over, not strolling like a man, but being a woman. Once the mother put these features in a woman, and the woman know that there's more to come, she will not think about tying her breast down with a mat of some type of elastic. She will not think about shaving her hair off to the point of looking bald-headed. She will not think about putting on those loafers or those jeans that are loosely fitted, because she has an outlook on what a woman's role is. It's only those women who have not had mapped out for them their future in being a woman who easily can lean towards the male. Women, I'm not saying it's your fault. Your mothers have to step in the picture here. They have to step in the picture where every day you're taken aside and told the joys of being a woman and what the period does for you. When you're flushing off the dead cells of a womb that is prepared to take in an egg to nurture it, the flushing of that dead blood and what it means, you're bringing life. No other gender can bring a life but you. So how neatly designed and created are you? It needs to be celebrated. Every month that woman experiences her period. During that time, mother needs to spend time with that child and indicate these are the sensitive times of your life when you are producing life itself. And had a seed or an egg been there, you would be permeating the life of a newborn. And understanding, woman, that a male can't do that. So therefore, you're uniquely made. And nothing under the sun, no hormone is going to come to make you start feeling masculine, because you have too many things going on with the flushing of this blood and this ovary taking the lining of the dead blood, releasing it. You are feeling the emotions of hormones that are conducive to a woman. You can't be having estrogen during the time you're producing hormones. You can't be having progesterone during the time you're producing these hormones of estrogen. Let's get it right. Don't get it twisted. Mothers, you can save your daughters from this. You have plenty of time to take them under your wing. And once you do this, they will hide the word in their heart, and they will not sin against your instruction. They will come back to it in end time. Now, am I chastening the mothers? Yes, I am. Because you got too many grandmothers that want to be the young mother and want to be in competition with the child, who don't want to be the instructor, who wants to be the child's friend, constantly telling the child, but you're grown. But you're grown. I don't need to tell you that. But you're grown. Quit using that word, but you're grown. What does grown do to a child? It leaves them vulnerable. It leaves them out there to defend for themselves. Quit telling your sons and daughters that they're grown. Keep teaching and guiding and instructing them until they leave the nest. Leave a door open so you can always discuss something with your so-called grown son or daughter. Now, I want to say something. Women, you're beautiful. We come in all shades, all figures, and all shapes. It's very important for you to love yourself. And no matter if you have scoliosis and your back is bent, no matter if your nose is crooked over, no matter if you have an apple-shaped head that won't grow hair, paste you some hair up on your head, glue you some hair up on your head, buy you the finest wig, and accent the femininity, your breasts, your bust, your behind, accent it. It still makes you a woman because you have those features. Don't be so obsessed with a full package. Don't be so obsessed because a man is not looking for you to be perfect in all areas. Just have your faculties working. Make sure that your faculties are working and fit for a man. And don't give them over to another woman and tell a man, I can't sleep with you because I'm sleeping with Jill. What in the world are you doing sleeping with Jill? And what can she do you except show you to another man? So, ladies and gentlemen, youth, if you're out there listening to the sound of my voice, I'm not coming down on anyone. I'm not beating down any of those women who go both ways. I'm telling you that at the beginning of your life, you have to have a foundation of who you are, and you have to be properly trained. And you can't get it from the stock. Your mothers and family ordered you here, so your father and mother is supposed to equip you to be who God calls you to be. And if you start growing into anything other than when God calls you into being, mothers should immediately zone into that and make the adjustment so you're back on track again. Now, I want mothers to call into this show right now. If you're experiencing a problem with your child, trying to accent her femininity and who's lost her way and need guidance and who need prayer for this demon, for this spirit that needs to be broken, call in to that phone line at 1-646-478-0272. We must redeem our beautiful women. We must redeem them. And redeeming them in the end time means to redeem them now, because we know in the end time it will be too late. Ladies, if you didn't know how great you are, let me tell you about your black self. At one time, when there weren't any men, you didn't have to give over to another woman to induce the seed in your vagina. You were able to ovulate your own seed and produce an X-like chromosome and produce the XX chromosome and reproduce your black self. That's how powerful you are as a woman. Now tell me, don't tell me, don't tell me that a man can turn inward on himself and reproduce himself. He's not capable. So why do you think God allowed you to go inward to yourself in your womb and reproduce after your own kind if you weren't so uniquely made? Why would you want to give up those assets all in the name of not being able to produce anymore? It's shameful because God has created some of us that reproduce and some of us that give the seed. And if you weren't called here to give the seed, then accept your position as the seed bearer and bear the seed. That's all I have to say on that topic. I'm going to the phone line to see if Mrs. Harvey has any more to say on the subject.
The only thing I have to say on that is that the only true thing that we really know, that man was made, when God made man, he made man. He didn't make man for man. He made man. He saw man was alone and lonely. Then he made woman. So he made a woman for a man, and he made man for a woman. He didn't make man for man and woman for woman. So I hope and trust that our children's parents would teach them that they are born woman, girl, boy, man. And they will accept that and go on and produce a family from that and their marriage from woman to man and man to woman. That's how God intended for it to be.
Thank you so much, Ms. Harvey. And ladies and gentlemen, we are so glad that you frequent our room today. This is a very important topic, and we're very serious about our women transitioning into young women. And we want those young women to feel good about themselves and to feel very pretty. It is a great thing to feel gorgeous and pretty. And don't let any other woman tell you how gorgeous and pretty you are. It's not acceptable. And don't let any woman hunt you down and drag you into a lifestyle that you are not fully accepted of. If you find that someone's stressing you out and forcing you into a lifestyle that is unacceptable other than what you have decided, then tell somebody. Get some self-help. If you feel like you're being drugged in by drugs, alcohol, or addiction, tell someone that when I'm out of my mind, I'm being led to function in a different lifestyle, and I don't like it, and I need to break free. There's freedom for you today, and I'm going to pray a prayer. Father God, if there's any women at the sound of my voice who have been held captive against their will, who have been forced into a lifestyle of none other than a female woman, who have been forced to be a servant and function like another male or allowing another female to penetrate her, I free that young woman this day. And Father God, I ask you to watch over your word to perfect it. Any woman currently that is struggling to get out of a situation like that, I release her and I decree that these spirits will leave her alone and be banned from her body. And if her tendencies are none other than a female tendency, take the spirit away and take it away quickly, Lord. Father, wrestle with that spirit until you rebuke it. Father God, let those young girls come forward and ask for help. And let them go to their parents and let them confide in their mother. They still yet need to talk to their mother about strange fruit and strange things that are happening to their body. And if they're craving another woman, tell your mother and ask your mother to pray with you to pray this demon away. If it is happening and you think it's natural, read your Bible and find out what the counsel of the word has to say on this subject. Ladies, you could be free. You could be free. And you can be put in a situation where you're loved again by all men. And you can be exonerated. You don't have to stay in these situations. You will be accepted back because you'll always be a woman. Give up the lifestyles and change. No multiple sex. No swinging with all kinds of lifestyle. It is not acceptable for God. You were created uniquely. And you are the temple, and the temple cannot be demolished by adulterated relationships. You must understand you are not your own. You do not own your faculties or your body. You are temporary in ownership, and you must use your body to the glorification of God. And in doing that, you will be rewarded, and you will be admonished, and you will feel feminine and loved again. Do not be psychologically confused in your mind. Do not walk around here intoxicated with barbiturates so that you can live this life. Come out of this false life of being intoxicated and drunken with the spirit of lustful lifestyle. Free yourself from lustful living, and God will show you the proper way. I say to God be the glory. And we thank you for listening in to Always Sisters, Always Friends. And ladies and gentlemen, I would like for you to come back and be with us again tomorrow. And we'll be on. Tomorrow is Wednesday. And we'll be right back at you in the atmosphere on Always Sisters, Always Friends. And stay tuned. We are going to do our topic this evening. If financial literacy is a solution to college, we're going to see in a moment. Just you wait and see. Stay tuned. Thank you so much, Mrs. Harvey. Welcome back, family. And we're glad to have you on this segment. We are going to be featuring the Family Life Education. And this is a segment where we talk about marriage and family life. This segment is so important that we are going to be looking at a number of different topics. And today's topic is on family reunion. With the summertime being here, there's more of a need for family gathering, and there's more of a need to look at some high-tech procedures for having family reunions and how you can do those family reunions on the internet and how you can still bring those families together who can't travel. That's why if you are high-tech, you could very well zone in with those screening opportunities and your technology and bring those families right in your living room so they can still share in that reunion. That's right. We're going to be talking about family reunions. And have you ever had one? And would you like to have a family reunion? And what are some of your goals and objectives for having a family reunion? Is it to welcome a new child into the family? A new family member who just got married? Is it to bring your family together to remind them of the fact that they haven't seen you in a while? Or is it to impart knowledge, material, information? Or do you travel for extracurricular activity for vacations together? I say it would be more apropos and you'll get more attendance if you plan your family reunion around a vacation and try to get discounted rates and get your family members paid up in advance for these trips that you're going to take. Or even take a cruise where you rent a ship to take your whole family. Make it exciting, something that they don't want to miss. Don't do the old backyard thing. Everybody can figure that out. Grandma's going to come and she's going to kiss everybody and say, oh, it's so good to see you. And then Papa and Big Daddy going to play those checkers in the back and argue over who's going to win. And then you got Joe, who always come and get drunk at the party and remind everybody about him being a vet and how everybody has forgotten about the good old veterans. And you always got somebody there that come and makes the party a disaster. They come in with a storm, cussing and fussing and drinking, acting a plum fool, wanting to close the party down. Then you have those beautiful children that are looking for activities, who want to run a race, who want to do a potato sack game, or they want to do pin the tail on the donkey. But you got to have some games for the children. Family reunions are beautiful, ladies and gentlemen. I come from a big clan of 18 children. Boy, everyone in our neighborhood wanted to know when we were going to have that family gathering. Don't let somebody make a transition in our family. The whole city opens up and comes because they want to see the family of 18. That's right, 11 girls and 7 boys. We all grew up in the same house, under the same roof, with 2 heads of the household. Rather unique, huh? Very unique. Because all of us were not brothers and sisters, but we were siblings of other brothers and sisters, and nieces and nephews, but we all called each other brother and sister. And that's why this show was featured, because we need to have a family reunion. And our biggest goal on this particular airway, on this program, is to bring all of our loved ones together via closed circuit TV online so that we can communicate and still have that fellowship together. You ought to do the same thing. Now, let's just take our minds back to family reunions and what they mean. For example, here's my case in point. One of our sisters who wanted a family reunion so bad, it was her request before she made her transition. We had one of the biggest family reunions at my house, and I paid for everything. There was no out-of-pocket fees. I took 5 years for the planning so that everything could be taken care of financially
the hotel, the restaurant, and the food. It was well attended, I would say, but it could have been better. At the same time, we centered our whole family reunion around two, telling the story of our lineage, recording our namesake and how we came to be. And each one of the eldest persons had a chance to give the background from each side of our family. And it was recorded. We talked about the children, the newborn, and we talked about the excitement of coming together, being family. Some of you may think it's strange to wait till the summer to have a gathering, but it's a lot easier for traveling. But don't think it's strange that you couldn't go to a hotel or resort and ask for discounts for your family and have your program centered around something unique, perhaps a graduation. The last family reunion I had, I centered it around my two sons graduating at the same time. One was graduating from college and the other from high school. So I made it my business to bring my family in and offer them conveniency of staying in the hotel that we had rented for this activity. They were glad to know that someone wanted to accommodate them. You must accommodate your family members. Don't always collect money to pay for things. If you really want this family reunion to happen, take your money, start saving, collecting money from them, donations, and putting it away so that you can budget and set your budget for all the activities, the trinkets, the material things, the food, and the entourage. And you must have an entourage, and you must have a thing so that when they come, you create the abnormal for your family. So it will be remembered, a unique category. Then also have the activities where you keep them busy and engaged in fun and games. Even adults like fun and games, and they like to be a part of the fun and games, as well as the line dancing and the hip-hop dancing as well. Now, why is it important to get in contact with Big Mama and Aunt Maddie and Addie and Aunt Ruth and Deborah and San and Carolyn and Denise? It's important so you could tell them, how is your family doing? Is everything all right? So you can observe, is someone fading out of the system and not taking very good care of themselves? If someone needs help or need intervening on behalf of, you could periodically see these people once a year because you don't know the next time you're going to see them alive. Nevertheless, let a family reunion be special in your household. Let it be something sought after every year. No matter how much money you have, save time and economize and put a few pennies away and ask if there are any donations. Don't demand of your families who don't have the income coming in. Give scholarships. Assist families who can't pay. But make sure everyone is included and no one feels left out. Take plenty of pictures. Even invite the city to come out and take a family massive picture and post it under the neighbor section in the newspaper. Make a big to-do about elderly who are still living in your family. Maybe there's somebody that lived to be 100. Tell their story. Have it printed in a newspaper. There's all sorts of things that you can use around Disney World, around Florida, traveling to the Niagara Falls, going to Toronto for lovers, or Quebec. All of these fantastic things in Canada that you can live out the life expectancy and have your theme around. Don't just go to any hotel. Find a resort that will allow you to pamper yourself, get physical therapeutic treatments and massages and mud baths so that you are refreshed when you go back home. You don't want to forget the opportunity for family gatherings. Make sure you plan your family gathering in advance now and give yourself between 6 months to a year to plan and put aside that filthy lucre and quit buying so much stuff and stock up on all of your commodities that you'll need and ask family members who can't afford to pay to make donations for the supplies and material. They all want to help. Make everyone feel like they have a place in planning and helping you. But you don't want to get too many people involved with the planning. Have maybe a panel of 4 to 10 people for planning, for activities, for the food, for the lodging, and always have a hotel that is put on hold for the family and have a floor that you have boxed out that you paid for at least 10 rooms for your family members who can't afford to pay. It's a great adventure, and it's a great day in each one of our homes when we can fellowship in a family reunion. Take your time to fellowship in a family reunion. Look forward to it. And there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Family Life is offering you this. Family Life Education. We're all Family Life educators in this room, and we want to give you tidbits to help your family to grow in grace. Now, grow in grace, ladies and gentlemen. This segment that we're going to, we've been waiting for our guest. Mr. Muhammad is not here. We're going to fill him in a little bit later next time. Hopefully we can get him in this room to talk about what we have to do. Now, we're going to go right on into our topic, and we're going to include the attorney at law with our topic. If financial literacy is the solution for college, is it?
The sermon on the warp land. The fact that we are black is our ultimate reality. Ron Karenga. And several strengths from drowsiness campaigned, but spoke in single sermon on the warpland, and went about the warpland saying, no, my people, black and black, revile the river, say that the river turns, and turn the river. Say that our something in double pod contains seeds for the coming hell and health together. Prepare to meet, sisters, brothers, the brash and terrible weather, the pains, the bruising, the collapse of bestials, idols. But then, oh then, the stuffing of the hulls, the seasoning of the perilously sweet, the health, the heralding of the clear obscure. Build now your church, my brothers, sisters. Build never with brick, nor corten, nor with granite. Build with live love, with love like lion eyes, with love like morning rise, with love like black, our black, luminously indiscreet, complete, continuous.
Thank you so much for that segment. Ladies and gentlemen, as you know, our featured show have been gradually changed. We did not speak on divorce today. We wanted to bring you family reunions. But when we have our guest again, Mr. Muhammad, we will bring that segment back under divorce. So we slightly made some changes today. Today's feature is going to be on if financial literacy is a solution to college. Is it? Instead of if. And we're going to be featuring the attorney at law along with that. Now, let me cover the attorney at law and give you that where we're continuing over about probation and how do you handle probation. Now, I want to give you another end of that under attorney at law. There's no attorneys here. We're not a member of the bar, but I am a paralegal, and I'd like to continue to speak with you about probation. What happens when you have a whole put on your bond and you have your bond evoked. Is it natural for you to go to the judge to take off a hold that's been placed on you automatically because you violated your probation? That probation hold goes on you for 15 days. You don't lose your bond. I was told by an attorney that your bond is always there. The hole is just reinforced, and you need to have a petition to request a bond or to release of a bond, so it appears. But nevertheless, no judge or no jury or no power of attorney or no attorney can inflict or take the hole off. It ordinarily is a regulation that comes off after the 15 days. It automatically comes off unless something supernaturally happens with that convict or that victim who has had warrants against him, and he's dreadfully possibly going to endanger someone's life. If those things don't happen and not in place, then the hole automatically comes off after 15 days. Unless the probationary officer writes an order saying that that particular plaintiff or defendant violated his parole, then she can put in a request to invoke his parole because he's violated. She is a significant figure here, ladies and gentlemen. If she has not written in the decree that that probation should be invoked or revoked, then it is clear to everyone, including the judge, I don't want to leave him or her out, that the judge does not have a position where he can continue to hold that defendant. At that point, he must or she must tell that defendant that they can now post bond and be released. Even the bailiff could look at the records and look on file to see if that probation officer has written a decree to invoke that defendant's probation. If she has not or he has not, at that point, the bailiff can set that defendant free and tell them, we now allow you to post bond. And they can tell them the amount that has been written in the records. At that point, if the defendant has no money and cannot afford to post bond, they can and oftentimes are released on their own cognizance. Thus said Attorney Harris and other attorneys who know this to be a fact. My question is, aren't the judges supposed to be equally as informed, or even more so? Now, when you go into a court of the law, before you speak at any time or ask to speak, you're usually sworn in that you will testify under your sworn oath. And usually, isn't it quite often required that you have some sort of representative there present to speak on your behalf, unless you have defined yourself to be representing yourself under a court of law in probate, in pro se. If you have not made the statement that I'm representing myself before I speak, the judge must ask you, do you have proper representation? If not, and you can't afford one, we will assign you one. She can't tell you those attorneys have been released to go home while at the same time honoring the fact that she's offering you proper representation. If there is no proper representation present there that day, and she cannot offer you proper representation before you speak, because under the grounds that you might intimidate yourself because you're not a member of the bar, you have no business speaking unless you have defined yourself as a pro se defendant. And if that public defender is not present there, isn't there some sort of obligation for the protection of that defendant that you offer that defendant a chance to come back under a continuance at a later date to speak to your attorney and ask your attorney to speak in representing you because you're not a member of the bar, nor are you a pro se. Ladies and gentlemen, you have got to know regulation. And you've got to stop going in these courtrooms alone, allowing a public defender to represent you, knowing that he is associated and connected with those courtrooms and will do what they tell him to do because he's on the payroll for that system. Don't go crying in there saying, can you give me a public defender? Can you give me a public defender? That one phone call you got, tell your mother to secure you a good attorney, one that's going to represent you, and promise to pay her back and sign promissory notes until you pay her back. Get a good attorney giving you proper counsel so you won't be caught up in the letter of the law or caught up in this web of a system. Some of you are locked in prisons now against your will and also in violation of the law. But you don't know this, you say, Omi. I didn't know that once I served my 15 days that if there was no invoking of probation that I am free to post bond because I've never lost a bond. I've only had a hole inflicted upon me. And the bailiff can check all of this out to make sure that there is no invoking of your probation, which allows you to become free. How many of the young men are locked away in prison tonight against their will and against their rights? Because some judge did not follow procedure or perhaps didn't know procedure. But failure to exercise someone's rights is no excuse in the letter of the law. Because as you know, the letter of the law killeth. And we are oftentimes punished for not exercising the right letter of the law. Now, how can you reveal that this has happened to you? And who do you talk to about it? And how do you get some replications or satisfaction behind this? How long will we, as immatures, lightweights, go into the courtroom unprepared and settle for the public defender? And oftentimes we will see him get a large portion of people off. Perhaps sometimes just with a slap on the hand of some of those repeat offenders who the judge may have seen in their courtroom several times, but they keep on excusing and releasing. And they're doing terrible, erroneous things. Yes, the judge must act swiftly and correct, but the judge must also follow regulations and procedure. And we have to have good attorneys to point that out and to vindicate for you and I. You are paying this lawyer. You are telling him what you want done in the case. Don't let him come to you and offer you a deal. Don't let him settle or her settle. Tell them you want to go all the way and be cross-examined and have a court of law give you a trial so that you can fight these cases so that you can prevail. Ladies and gentlemen, too many of us are caught up in the letter of the law. And we are handling our business as business as usual. But it's not business as usual. Don't get caught up into these work release and say, oh boy, now I'm going to work and make some money and I can work my time off. It doesn't always happen like that. You've got to request that you can go to work or school and it doesn't always happen immediately. You might end up going to work, but not for yourself. You maybe end up working for the city. And did you not know you are supposed to contribute 25% of your income to that work release program? So you're paying for your stay there. Or shall I say, is the taxpayer's dollars paying for your stay there? And you probably already know how much it costs to house an inmate and feed an inmate, far more than you and I would propose to give with our taxes. We better see our sons and daughters and neighbors serving in the capacity of enrollment in college or school. Nevertheless, they are becoming a burden on society because you are creating the extended work release program all under the assumption that they're working for themselves, but yet they are working for your institutions within your governments. Free labor, cheap labor, not giving access to reducing time served, all of this needs to be looked at by your congressman, and it needs to be talked about in the perimeters of your congressman. And people, don't tell me you don't need to know the law. Don't tell me it's only on a need-to-know basis and it's privy information. It might be a matter of life and death. You've got to know your rights. You've got to honestly know what parameters you're being judged under. And if you so happen to have money to pay a lawyer, make sure your lawyer is hearing what you're saying. I'm not accepting a plea bargain. I want this case to be adjudicated to the fullest. And anyone who is guilty, I want them to be pointed out. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I am not an attorney, and nor am I pretending to be a member of the bar. I am a merely voice in the wind of a paralegal who's looking at all of these injustices done to young men and women like you, like myself, and others. And I'm saying, if need be, there needs to be a spotlight drawn on and to the attention for our youth's sake, who are being carted away and taken out of the mainstream and put into a system of cheap labor. It has to stop. This is my press release today, and I hope those that are hearing it will hear this and perceive this as a press release. I want the press and the media to try this issue because far too long vendettas have been placed on families and judges, attorneys have known clearly better of what to do and have violated certain rights of inmates, and nothing has been done about it. I say that the voice in the wind tonight that is talking about a press release is hoping that someone will understand you don't have the capability of doing this, but you and I do. Therefore, this press release is being spoken to those who are concerned and who can make a difference. I say make a difference today. Don't let another minute turn without you looking into the system to see whose rights have been violated. It might be your own or your child's. Be careful not to turn your head and allow your deaf ears to be closed. Open up your eyes so that you may see. We end this broadcast, and we'd like to go right into Jamel Harvey and bring him in on our last segment and talking about health education, dealing with wellness. And we're going to bring in Dr. Jamel to talk about wellness and what does it mean to be healthy and well. We know that it is very important that we keep a hearty and a healthy body, but we also know that it's very important that we heed to corrections about the diet that we're consuming and all of these hormones we're taking into our body, all of these carcinogenics that is destroying our body. We have to know what's good for us. We have to know. And we have to make sure that we, from time to time, reassess our bodies. Stay tuned. We're going to bring on Dr. Jamel.
Rosa Parks. This is for the Pullman Porters, who organized when people said they couldn't, and carried the Pittsburgh Courier and the Chicago Defender to the black Americans in the South so that they would know they were not alone. This is for the Pullman Porters, who helped Thurgood Marshall go south and come back north to fight the fight that resulted in Brown versus Board of Education. Because even though Kansas is west, and even though Topeka is the birthplace of Gwendolyn Brooks, who wrote The Power for the Chicago Defender Sends a Man to Little Rock, it was the Pullman Porters who whispered to the traveling men, both the blues men and the race men, so that they would both know what was going on. This is for the Pullman Porters who smiled as if they were happy and laughed like they were tickled when some folk were around, and who silently rejoiced in 1954 when the Supreme Court announced its 9-0 decision that separate is inherently unequal. This is for the Pullman Porters who smiled and welcomed a 14-year-old boy onto their train in 1955. They noticed his slight limp that he tried to disguise with a doo-wop walk. They noticed his stutter and probably understood why his mother wanted him out of Chicago during the summer when school was out. 14-year-old black boys with limps and stutters are apt to try to prove themselves in dangerous ways when mothers aren't around to look after them. So this is for the Pullman Porters who looked over that 14-year-old while the train rolled the reverse of the Blues Highway from Chicago to St. Louis to Memphis to Mississippi. This is for the men who kept him safe. And if Emmett Till had been able to stay on that train all summer, he would have maybe grown a bit of a paunch, certainly lost his hair, probably have worn bifocals and bounced his grandchildren on his knee, telling them about his summer riding the rails. But he had to get off that train and ended up in Money, Mississippi, and was horribly, brutally, inexcusably, and unacceptably murdered. This is for the Pullman Porters who, when the sheriff was trying to get that body secretly buried, got Emmett's body on the northbound train, got his body home to Chicago, where his mother said, "I want the world to see what they did to my boy." And this is for all the mothers who cried. And this is for all the people who said, "Never again." And this is about Rosa Parks, whose feet were not so tired. It had been, after all, an ordinary day, until the bus driver gave her the opportunity to make history. This is about Mrs. Rosa Parks from Tuskegee, Alabama, who was also the field secretary of the NAACP. This is about the moment Rosa Parks shouldered her cross, put her worldly goods aside, and was willing to sacrifice her life so that that young man in Money, Mississippi, who had been so well protected by the Pullman Porters, would not have died in vain. When Mrs. Parks said no, a passionate movement was begun. No longer would there be a reliance on the law. There was a higher law. When Mrs. Parks brought that light of hers to expose the evil of the system, the sun came and rested on her shoulders, bringing the heat and light of truth. Others would follow Mrs. Parks. Poor young men in Greensboro, North Carolina, would also say no. Great voices would be raised, singing the praises of God and exhorting us to forgive those who trespass against us. But it was the Pullman Porters who safely got Emmett to his granduncle, and it was Mrs. Rosa Parks who could not stand that death. And in not being able to stand it, she sat back down.
Thank you so much, Nikki. We needed that information. Please do not lose sight of the fact that our boys must be protected, our male child. Protect your sons and daughters today as they're out on the highway, because there are still evils that lurk within. Protect them. Create a hedge around them. Stay tuned. We're going to Dr. Jamel Harvey on health and wellness. Dr. Jamel Harvey, are you out there?
Speaking.
Welcome, Dr. Jamel. We're featuring health and wellness, and ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Jamel Harvey is a naturopathic doctor. He's treated people all around the world for various different conditions and modalities. He is also an energy healer and can perceive to send energy to heal. Now, our topic today is going to be talking a little bit about health and wellness, but I want to ask a question, Dr. Jamel. In energy healing, can anyone heal with their energy, or do you have to have any particular type of training to do this?
Anyone can heal. the techniques and ways in which to access the energy that's around all of us, that's the thing that people put a price on, their ability to teach you how to access the energy that's free and that's in you already. So that basically answers the question.
Dr. Jamel, Dr. Harvey, the other thing is that the training that we obtain from various different modalities, is there one better than the other as far as getting training from the shaman opposed to getting training from the reflexologist? Is the training any different? And what is clairvoyant? And is everyone clairvoyant, or do we acquire that gift?
Training is and depends upon the skill and ability of the person doing the training. Everyone has natural gifts. Everyone comes into the world with the ability to do great things. It's your ability to maintain that consciousness or receive higher consciousness, and it's up to your ability to access skills and modalities used in healing. A shaman could be a shaman, but a shaman may not be a very good teacher. It's like Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan is a great basketball player, but is he a great teacher? So that is somewhat subjective. You really have to just hone in on one thing. Everyone has natural God-given gifts. There's energy around us, and it's our ability to have consciousness of these healing modalities that will determine what you can do basically on your own. The problem with humanity, though, that I see is that because of theology and because of economics, we have been cut off from the greatness that we are naturally by birth. I see that there's a mental condition that the human being and the human race has allowed itself to be subjugated to, and that is, I will teach you, you follow me. The old adage, are you your brother's keeper? Are you your sister's keeper? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. I think that is a flavor that's being lost on this planet. Everyone has the ability to do great things, but do we bring greatness out of each other? In most cases, we do not, because we extort, we murder, we lie, we cheat, we steal, and that's more on the rise than brotherly and sisterly love. So we need to take a look at ourselves inwardly to determine who we are being at any moment. I think that's the greatest healing that we could undertake in this hour, in this conversation, is a self-assessment of who we are and who we're being.
Brother Jamel, do we have the capability of bringing ourselves out of this stigma and become a potent human being? Do we have the innate ability in our frequency range, in our ninth ether, to rise above this level that we've fallen, lower than a refugee? Do we have the ability as an African person or a black African American to subject ourselves to work from our frame of frequency and our frame of mind, or have we forgotten ourselves and what we once were?
Real simple and right to the point on that. You know, you have yin and yang, positive and negative. When the positive people, which would be the conscious, agreeable people, are aware that you do have negative, evil people, when you can make that separation, the answer to your question is yes. Not all of us are positive and conscious positive. In order to make the world go round, I guess, you know, we're in a centripetal, triple force. So we have to destroy in order to create. So we have a negative and a positive. A conscious, positive person has to be conscious of the fact that you are doing the greater good because it's the right thing to do. You also have to know that there is disagreeable and evil that lurks around you. How you navigate those waters will be the test as to how and when humanity can basically save itself. Because what you have is a planet that's being polarized by negativity versus the positive that it could be in a balance.
Now, Brother Jamel, our whole topic this segment
is on if financial literacy is a solution, or is financial literacy the solution to our children's education. We have been sold a bill of goods about education being the utmost required thing to mandate that you will have success in your life. You and I both know that we can put a quantity or a value on anything, and we can make that be significant to a God. We have placed money, filthy lucre, in a category of a God, and our children have ran after it. They've killed for it. They've died for it. Now we must debrief our children, and we must decategorize what has value on it. So what would you say if we were going to make a sane world, a conscious world, an ethical world, especially modeling for our children? What would be a healthy atmosphere to show our children? What are the prerequisites to being successful, and what are some of the tools that you would use in your treasure chest to be reassured that you are prepared to handle money without having to go to college to learn that tool?
Start learning, teaching, and living. Health is your wealth. In order to be wealthy, you first have to be healthy. You cannot even perceive the precepts of what it is to bring about generational wealth if you are not healthy. If you have a polluted blood system, a polluted liver, polluted colon, how can your brain possibly receive economic information that's going to help you? And before you even receive your wealth, you have dead anyway. So what good is the money? What good is the money if you are steeped into alcohol part time, marijuana part time, chasing the flesh part time? You must be healthy to be wealthy. And when you take upon that journey of studying what is healthy to be wealthy, you come into a level of spirituality. With that particular tool, it equips you now to have a mind that can absorb what you need to know. Because right now, what you have in society is lack of memory. People's memories are failing them. You have right now what's going on, a major sun flare that they're reporting in the news right now. The sun is actually throwing off a flare. Now, the scientists don't know if this flare will be harmful. They don't know what type of flare this is really going to be. They can only project and only say based on their models. But if the sun is throwing off flares, then you have to really get into, well, what is a flare? Electromagnetic vibration that will penetrate the earth. Will it be of agreeable or disagreeable nature? That's very, very important. So we have to become conscious of nature, because nature produced us. But we are so conscious of religion. We're so quick to say Jesus will save you. Well, the sun is throwing off a flare. We need to know what degree, what energy level, what magnitude is that flare, and does it harm the human being, or does it enhance the human being? If you are in a conscious consciousness already, and nature is sending a jolt of energy, will that energy be received in a positive way? If you are in a negative stance and nature is sending a jolt of energy, will that take you deeper into negativity, or will it take you into higher consciousness? It all depends on where you are right now. Mother Earth obviously needs that energy to do what? To do more work, because the planets are connected. They communicate with each other and they feed each other, thus as people do. So we have to become more conscious and healthier before we can get wealthy.
Well said, Jamel. Well said. Dr. Harvey, our children are so disconnected from earth, wind, and fire, but yet they sing of the consciousness. At one time when we were in the baby boomers, there were subliminal messages sent to us in the atmosphere so that we could be reconnected to an energy force, and thus bringing about the dancing and the frequency levels that caused us to connect to the ultimate higher self. There's another breed or wind that's coming where young people are now going into spirit dancing, and they're learning to dance based on the utterance of the spirit, and they're being invoked and thrown into the spirit, so to speak. But yet they don't know what to do with this spirit. And during this time that they're doing all this spiritual dancing, they're supposed to be working out things in the natural that they can't do in the physical. So it's a big craze that's going on possibly in California. And you read about these underground facilities where they go and they drum to the point of being drunk. And at these sessions, you're seeing young men and women exemplify a spirit of being drunk, and having the spirit upon them would be the time that they should speak and solve problems. So more and more of these centers are opening up, but they're very slow to come to the Midwest. Yet we need them. What can you say to the young people about an alternative to going out to clubs and a way that they can free their spirit so their mind can follow? And how can they get in touch with spirit and reconnect the spirit?
Is the example that I have studied. And since we're dealing with a Judeo-Christian society, let me give you the example through the scriptures. If you notice in Genesis 2 and 7, the Lord God, if you notice in Genesis also, the Lord God instructed Abraham to go and sacrifice his son. Okay, let us throw on the altar and sacrifice him. But God stepped in to show Abraham, no, don't do that. Go over there and get that ram in the thicket. Now, you have two forces at work here. I say this. You have agreeable forces, agreeable spirit forces, and disagreeable spirit forces. The spirit dance is being marketed and led by whom and what? Disagreeable spirit forces or agreeable spirit forces? You have to realize that a spirit force asked Abraham to sacrifice his son. Why would an almighty, all-powerful, all-omnipotent deity need a human being to kill another human being? For what reason? Why would a deity, a spirit force, want young people to do a dance? For what reason? You have to deal with the facts when you're dealing with this as much as possible. So that's the only analogy I can give you in terms of helping the young people make a comparison. So if we are infected through our theology to do something that is disagreeable, that will be harmful, then what are you doing in the natural world dancing? Who are you dancing to? Why are you doing this dance? Can you really put a finger as to what spirit this is? Because if you can't identify the spirit, then what are you doing? Just really, what are you doing? You have to be able to vet and to qualify the spirit force that you are doing this dance for. And if they are that powerful, they should give you, meaning the spirit force, the information to validate why, who, and where you're doing this. Other than that, it is utter madness, and it will lead to something that will be destructive.
Thank you so much, Jamel. Well put. Now, we're talking about health and wellness in this room, and you can call in and lock that dial in at 646-478-0270. And we're talking with Dr. Harvey in reference to a general sense of wellness, not only with dealing with our vital wellness with nutrients, but a quality of life. And we spoke about that yesterday. What makes for a quality life? What are some of the extracurricular things that you incorporate in your life? And what do you set aside for healthy lifestyle on a regular basis? And we've been talking about spirit dancing, and that is a new craze that's going on where the drummers come together and the dancing go forth. And instead of drinking alcohol, they become drunk on the spirit. I personally think it's a good thing if they are allowing themselves to be sensitive to the spirit, to allow the spirit to speak to them, because spirit is all guiding, and spirit will not confuse them with the lust of the flesh. And a lot of young people are working from flesh and not from spirit. That's why I brought that point out, Dr. Harvey. What we're going to do, ladies and gentlemen, is invite you back to speak with Dr. Harvey on our next segment tomorrow. He'll be back here tomorrow around the same time. We feature the show at 9 o'clock. Please join us 9 o'clock p.m. and come promptly to be a part of our spiritual segment to talk with us about Always Sisters, Always Friend. What is marriage and family life, and how do you talk about family reunions and bring family back together? We featured those shows for you today. We've also given you a segment on law. We've been talking about probation. What's that all about? What happened if your bond is invoked? How do you stand up and get justice? And how do you acquire a good lawyer? You don't want to miss these segments tomorrow. We're a brand new show under Care to Read. We are featuring a number of topics under 120 minutes. We have a full-blown show for you, ladies and gentlemen. We'd like to thank you for being a part of our show and invite you to come back. Right now, I want you to watch me do my disappearing act. But before that, thank you, Mr. Dr. Jamel. And take care, ladies and gentlemen. We'll see you tomorrow, Dr. Jamel, same time, same place. I got to do my disappearing act. We're all out of time.
It's DA.
DA, come on.
Oh, yeah. About to close, so tell me what's gonna happen. Am I going with you? How you coming with me? My girl's not around, and your man just set you free. Baby, I'm your destination.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be doing our disappearing act, but we'll be back tomorrow. I want to thank each and every one of you for following me under Twitters, and I especially want to thank you newcomers for joining me today. Under our new segment, you will find that it is enriched, and it is definitely new science, and it's definitely new statistics for a lot of you about our law segment. We want you to zone in on that attorney at law and be ready to feature and frequent the attorneys that are going to be in this room. You're going to find this is going to be a fabulous place to sit and entertain information pertaining to law. We wanted to give you a public service that would allow you to have pro se and pro bono at low cost and at no cost. You can feature these attorneys later on. However, we've had five of them to agree to be in this room, and we're going to set it up so that they can frequent this room on a regular basis. However, our main focus is making sure our children know how to handle filthy lucre, how to plan for college, and not waste a lot of money going to college if it's not cost effective. We're doing things cost effective here in this room. We're learning to integrate good, healthy living and lifestyle. And we're coming into new dispensation as a people who are going to lead. We have to be upright, righteous people, and we know that our bodies have to be healthy if we're going to have the right temperament and the blood flowing through our veins so that we will have membranes that will release that knowledge that we need to lead and guide. We cannot be sick and found wanting in our spirit man or in our physical. We have to be balanced in all that we do. And what we're offering you, ladies and gentlemen, is a balanced show, a wholesome show for the family, one that you can use to minister to you and one that can feed your family and balance your family in a self-help mode. Stay tuned for more of what we have to offer on Is Financial Literacy the direction we want to go for college, or do we educate our children at home, mothers and fathers, about how to handle economics and funds and money? Call money to you. Call it to you now. You define the frequency level that you're vibrating on. Call it back to you. Utilize it and be sure to let it circulate because it is a currency. Don't hold a dollar until it hollers. Make sure you're good to yourself and you are buying the things you need, not necessarily the things you want. Stay tuned. We'll be at you again tomorrow. And we say, oh, double and baba booey to you, family. I'll see you tomorrow, if it be inshallah. Take care.